Okay, Rabosai. We'll take a look here on Daf Yud Ches Omid Aleph. And there's a Braisa here, and we touched on it last time about Loeg LaRosh. And the Braisa says the following. If this is in your way, Mitch, just put it on another table. I'm afraid it shouldn't spill, but... So it says, Lo Yahalech Adam. The Beis HaKvaros. Utfilin Barosho. The Sefer Torah Bizro. The Kore. The Imosa Kain. Over Mishum. Loeg LaRosh. Cheref Osehu. Cheref Osehu. It's a pasuk in Mishle. We'll see a little bit later on in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say exactly why that's a cherpa for the mess when he does these actions. And on the list of actions, you won't find tzitzis, but we'll see that in the Gemara. For some reason, the Braisa leaves out tzitzis. The Braisa is also meduyuk that it's tefillin berosho. He's not just holding his tefillin. And even in the case of Sefer Torah Bizroo, he's not just holding on to the Sefer Torah, but it says vikore. That's what we have. So before we ask the main question in this sugya, I just want to point out a few technical things over here. First of all, this Braisa, which seems to be the main source for the Iser Loeg LaRosh, as far as I can tell, I don't see it in the Mishnah. This Braisa speaks about Amahalech Bebeis HaKvaros. And I'm wondering if that means that anywhere in the Beis HaKvaros, this prohibition should apply. I would have been more comfortable, it would have been more simple to me to understand Loeg LaRosh in terms of a relationship, a proximity to the mess, to the dead body. And anyone who comes in close contact with the dead body, even if it's not in the Beis HaKvaros, for example, those who are carrying the mitah, or for example, at the time of the Hesped, if you come close to the mess, there too, there should be a din of Loeg LaRosh. Is the Braisa telling me Vikolshkein Bifnei HaMess? If you are prohibited in a Beis HaKvaros, how much more so if you're close to the mess? And the Chiddush of this Braisa is that the entire Beis HaKvaros as a location, you know, with all its boundaries, is included under the Iser of Loeg LaRosh. Or is the Braisa singling out a Beis HaKvaros and there's some sort of separate Iser with regard to Beis HaKvaros? What I'd like to do with you here is I don't see that Rashi addresses these issues, nor do I see in Rashi that he defines what Loeg LaRosh is, and therefore I'm tempted to want to use the Rambam. The Rambam, as you may have seen in the pages that I gave out last week, is spread out in many different places. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Avel. There's a couple of Rambams in Hilchas Tefillin and Sefer Torah. There are Rambams in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. You know, the Rambam is like, to weave all the Rambams together. And then there's a Ravid in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. You know, that itself is a shtickel arbit. You know, that's a challenge unto itself. Before we get to try to weave through these Rambams, I just want to point out one thing here which caught my eye. Tosfos, a very small Tosfos, the Sefer Torah Bizroo, and then it says Vekore. So you might have thought that this Isur of Loeg LaRosh only applies if he is actually carrying a Sefer Torah. And the Tosfos comes Lafuki and he says, no, Vehu Adin de Alper Osur Likros. You're not allowed to read Torah even by heart. And I'm not sure if Tosfos means to say that in the Hava Mina, And the simple pshat in the braisa, so we're talking about kedusha sefer Torah. There's something in the heft of the sefer Torah, and therefore Baal Peh, where he's not holding a sefer Torah, he's certainly not reading from one, there would be no isur. And therefore Tosus comes lafuki from this havamina, and he says that it's not a din in kedusha sefer Torah, but rather it's a din in mitzvah's Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is prohibited because of Loeg L'Rosh. That would seem to be, I think, a valid pshat.
Couldn't you say that the Sefer Torah is Ro, it's still open enough that he can look in it, and it's differentiating between the Sefer Torah that he's reading from, or a closed Sefer Torah that's covered, and he's just reciting from a Sefer Torah, and there's still a Sefer Torah there.
Ah, you want to say there's still a Sefer Torah there. Okay, that's an interesting pshat. I didn't read the Tosus in that way, but Mitch is suggesting that maybe, in all cases, he's got a Sefer Torah, and the only difference is as to whether or not he's opening the Sefer Torah or not. My only question to you, Mitch, is the following. If he's actually holding the Sefer Torah, so what exactly engenders in that scenario the Iser of the violation of Loeg L'Rosh? Is it the fact that A, he's holding the Sefer Torah, plus B, he's reading Torah without even looking at the Sefer Torah? Meaning, why do we need both A and B? If A is the fact that he's got the Sefer Torah in his hands, That's not enough, apparently. He's got to open the Sefer Torah and read from
it. It might be similar to Tefillin Barosha and Tefillin Biyado. I mean, a similar kind of case where you're going to differentiate between you're in the act of doing the mitzvah or you just happen to be holding the Heftz of Kedusha.
Right. But I'm just saying, if he's holding the Heftz of Kedusha, so why do I need that he's reading from the Sefer Torah? In the case of Tefillin, if it's Biyado, let's say the Radbaz, we'll soon see the Radbaz's sheet, is that even to take Tefillin into Dalet Amishal Mess is prohibited, even though you're not wearing the Tefillin.
Right,
So that's why I thought Tos should have said Sefer Torah Bizroo. This is the way I think the Radbaz is reading this price according to the Rambam. The Lav Dafka Korebo. Just the very fact that he's holding on to the Sefer Torah, Tosus should have said, "V'hu adinim eino korebo." But that's not what Tosus says. Tosus says, "V'hu adin the alper also likros." Tosus seems to be putting the emphasis on the fact that he's reading from the Sefer Torah, albeit balper. And I thought he meant even if he's not carrying in a Sefer Torah. And we'll see later on that the Rambam prohibits you from reciting Kriyat Shema in a Beis Hakfaras, and he's not holding a Sefer Torah. Okay, so that's number one as far as Tosus is concerned. Now let's open up the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchus Avel. And you know what? I think, if it's okay with you, Rabbi Osai, let's put this over here and I'll call on you when I need it. Because I'm almost positive it's gonna spill. It's just a question of time. So where's the Rambam in Hilchus Avil? Did anybody see that? Is it Perek Yudalel Halacha Yud Gimel?
Yes.
Okay, good. So the Rambam here speaks about Dinei Beis HaKvaros, and at the end of this entire list of all sorts of Isurim that you're not allowed to violate in a Beis HaKvaros, then the Rambam says, Lo yelech adam betoch arba omos shel kever. Now here it depends which Rambam you have in front of you, how to read the next two words. I have in front of me the Frankel edition of the Rambam, and he says utfilin barosho. That's very significant. You have biyado, and you're in good company, because the Radbaz, who lived 5 centuries ago, also had, he lived in Egypt, in 5 centuries ago, he also has the word biyado. The Kesef Mishnah I'm not sure about, it's not too clear to me, but certainly the Radbaz has the word biyado. And the strange thing to me is that Bar Ilan has biyado, and that's why on my pages it says biyado. But I looked in the back in the Frankel, what's called the Yalkut Shinui Nischos, and he says that he checked out all his Kisveyad. He's got like 30 Kisveyad from the manuscript period before the printing press, and not one of them has the word biyado in it. They all have barosho. So some printer, after the printing press, you know, despite what he found in the manuscripts, decided to change the Rambam to Biyodo. But be that as it may, the Radbaz has it, so at least for the Radbaz, it's a valid girsa. And here's where the Radbaz sets up two different Isurim in Loeg LaRosh. Number one, if it's Tefillin V'Rosho, says the Radbaz, Azhu Mekayim Mitzvah, the fact that he's being Mekayim Mitzvah in close proximity of the mess, that itself is Loeg LaRosh. Then he says, even if he's not being Mekayim the Mitzvah, El Afilu Tofes Osam Biyado, he's holding on to his Tefillin in his hand, Asur. And therefore, says the Radbaz, when we get to say for Torah, there's no need to add the word for Kore, because the very fact that he brings in a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, in this case a Tefillin or Sefer Torah in close proximity, that itself is a violation of Loeg LaRosh. Says the Radbaz, Afal Gav Dieno Kore, Ika Mishum Loeg LaRosh, and that's why the Rambam omits the word V'Kore, which appears in the Braisa. And if that be the case, when you read the Braisa, and the Braisa says Utfilin Barosho and Sefer Torah Bezro Vekore, you get the impression that it's the Rambam, according to the Radbaz, who made a major breakthrough. Meaning, when I read the Braisa, I limit the Isur of Loeg LaRosh to a case where a person is being Mecharef. He's being Mecharef this mess because he's able to be Mekayim Mitzvahs and the mess is not. And therefore, in the case of Tefillin, he's wearing the Tefillin. In the case of Sefer Torah, he's reading from the Sefer Torah. But if he's not wearing the Tefillin, he's not reading from the Sefer Torah, the impression you get from the Braisa is that that wouldn't be a violation. Comes along the Radbaz, and he has two diyukim in the Rambam. Number one, his girsa in the Rambam is Tefillin biyado. And number two, he doesn't have the word vekore. The Rambam omits that word. Therefore, there's a second Iser in Loeg LaRosh, says the Radbaz, and that is bringing this Cheftza Shel Mitzvah in close proximity of the mess. Now, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah, he doesn't quote the Radbaz, but he doesn't seem to be happy with the Radbaz. He writes, Braisa beperek Misha Meso, ubenuschi didan gabi sefer Torah, lo yahalech odem beis hakvaras besefer Torah bizro v'yikra bo. In other words, according to the Kesef Mishnah, the prohibition against bringing a Sefer Torah in this close proximity of the mess is limited to the condition that he reads from the Sefer Torah. It means Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Mitoch HaSefer. And then he adds, just to emphasize this, V'hachi Mestaber, D'below Kriya Bo, My Loeg LaRosh Ika. Now, the Kesef Mishnah doesn't tell you what girsa he has in Tefillin. But if you take the sheet of the Kesef Mishnah to its logical conclusion, that you have to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, in the case of Sefer Torah, you have to be reading from it. Again, I don't know why the Rambam omitted the words V'kori Bo. We'll see about that in a different Kesef Mishnah. But here in this Kesef Mishnah, you have to assume that the Rambam holds V'kori Bo, even though he left it out, like the Braisa. And Tefillin has got to be Barosho. So that would be that. So we would come to the salvation of the Kesef Mishnah by quoting the manuscript editions of the Rambam. Once again, the Rambam, like the Braisa, omits tzitzis. And that is a little bit bothersome, because if you fast forward to the Gemara on the bottom of the page, about five lines up from the bottom, the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yonasan, and it says, Havi shakli v'ozli b'beis hakvaris. They were walking in a beis hakvaris, and Koshadya Tchilta de Rabbi Yonasan, and the Tchilas, the Tzitzis of Rabbi Yonasan, were in a sense hovering over the Kvar. Omar Le Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia says, Dalye, pick them up, meaning don't allow them to be dragged over the Kvarim. Why? Kadesh Shalom Yomru Lamachar. Is after some period of time, they the Mesim are going to say, Boyen Etzlenu, here they come to visit us. No, in the future, they're going to come to visit us. V'achshav, and now, Mecharfen Osanu. they're being Mekayim this mitzvah, which we cannot possibly be Mekayim. So it's interesting that the Braisa and the Rambam, following suit, left out tzitzis. What I would like to suggest is the following. Keep this in mind. The possibility that I would like to investigate with you is that the Rambam holds that the Iser of Loig L'Rosh requires two conditions. Condition number one is that you're being mekayim a mitzvah in front of the mess, in close proximity of the mess. And then we're going to have to figure out why the Rambam, in the Frankel edition of the Rambam, although he has tefillin berosha, which is great, but Sefer Torah b'zroo, and he's not reading from it, the Rambam doesn't whisper a word. And number two, the second condition for the Rambam is that the chefza that he's bringing in, with which he's being mekayim the mitzvah, is a chefza shel kedusha, as opposed to a chefza shel mitzvah. Meaning, the difference between tzitzis on the one hand and tefillin and sefer Torah on the other is that tzitzis is a chefza shel mitzvah, but it doesn't have any kedusha to it. Kedusha requires writing in ashuris on a klaf with dio. That doesn't apply to tzitzis. So let's see if I can make a case for this, and let's see if you can shlug me up. There's an obvious kasha on my pshat, but let's see if you'll come up with a kasha. So first, I want to see why is it that the Rambam is not happy with simply codifying this halach in Hilchus Avel, which is sort of where it belongs, because all the dinim of how we have to treat the mess and mesim in general and a beis hakfaras, they're all here in Hilchus Avel. And yet the Rambam decides to codify these halachas of Loig L'Rosh over and over again throughout the Mishneh Torah. And in some cases he simply repeats what he writes in Hilchus Avel. So it's a bit atypical of the Rambam. So we're going to open up first to Perek Yud, Mihilchus Tefillin V'Sefer Torah. And there the Rambam writes, in Halach Vav, Lo Yochaz Adam Sefer Torah Bizroo, V'Kones Bo, L'Beis HaMerchatz O L'Beis HaKisei. That's not relevant to us per se. But then he says, O L'Beis HaKvoros, Afishu Karch V'Makpachas. It seems that the Rambam feels compelled to repeat himself about holding a Sefer Torah and bringing it inside a Beis HaKvoros a second time here in Hilchus Tefillin and Sefer Torah. And why do you think the Rambam would do such a thing? Exactly. Because here the Rambam is not talking about Loig L'Rosh. Yeah. And the Raya is because the Rambam combines it in one breath with Beis HaMerchatz or Beis HaKisei. It must be that the Rambam, and this is very meticulous of the Rambam to classify this halacha in Hilchus Sefer Torah, is reflecting on the dinim that apply to Kedusha Sefer Torah. And Kedusha Sefer Torah generates an iser to take the Sefer Torah in places which would undermine the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. And those places are either places of erva, or places of tzoah, or places of tumah. Those are the three categories that the Rambam has. Oh. Then the Rambam takes a deep breath in the sefer this halacha, and it sounds like he's pressing the return button and he's returning to Hilchus Avel, to Loig L'Rosh. Why do I say so? Because here the Rambam speaks about Lo Yikra Bo. And if our assumption is correct that the Iser of Loig L'Rosh applies not because you took a Sefer Torah into the Beis HaKvaros or in close proximity to the rest, but because you're being Mekayim a mitzvah in close proximity, I'm tempted to think that for some reason at this point the Rambam sort of jumps forward into the halacha of Loig L'Rosh. Of course, the kash is always going to be why the Rambam waited till here to do so. But I think I might have an answer to that question. In any event, notice that the Rambam, in this Sefer, adds something that he doesn't have in the Reisha. In the Reisha, he speaks about bringing a Sefer Torah into a Beis HaKvaros. He doesn't have any limitations or conditions. Where in the Sefer Torah? It sounds like the Rambam is including all the area of the Sefer Torah with that's bounded in this Isur. But when he gets to the Sefer of Kriya Mitoch HaSefer Torah, which the Kesef Mishnah believes is Loig LaRosh, the Rambam says, Dalid Amos Min HaKever. It's not anywhere in the Beis HaKvaros. It's not an all-inclusive prohibition. You're not allowed to be Makayim, the mitzvah of Kriya Mitoch HaSefer, within a radius of 4 amos around the kever. Then the Rambam adds, Omin HaMes. And here I'm very excited because, as we said earlier, with regard to Loig LaRosh, it would seem logical to assume that the Issur Loig LaRosh is not limited to a Beis HaKvaros, but wherever the Mes is. Maybe the Rambam assumed in Hilchos Avil that we would learn it out as a Kal V'chomer. But here the Rambam doesn't want to rely on Kal V'chomer, because here the Rambam wants to tell you that this doesn't come under the Isur of Kedusha Sefer Torah, but the Rambam wants to tell you that now we're entering into the Halacha of Loeg L'Rosh. And whereas in Hilchos Kedusha Sefer Torah we can talk about the entire location, the entire area of the Beis HaKvaros. But when we get to the specific Isur of Loeg L'Rosh, now that prohibition becomes much more limited. Right? It's much more mugbal, as we'd say in Hebrew. It's no longer all-inclusive, the entire Beis HaKvaros. No. It's going to be Toch Arba Amos Shal Kever. It's going to be Toch Arba Amos Shal Ames. And here the Rambam writes, Lo Yikrabo. And it's only Kriya. Now, the Kesef Mishnah here says that, you know what? If you go back to the source, the Brice that we learned in Brachos Daf Yud Ches of Loeg L'Rosh, there it says, Sefer Torah Bizro V'Kore, but yet, the Pashtus of the Brice is, even if he wasn't reading from the Sefer Torah, he says the following. If you take a look in the Rambam, as we saw in Hilchos Avil Perek Yudal Aluch Yud Gimel, doesn't mention the Korei Bo. And logically, we would assume that bringing a Sefer Torah into the Beis HaKvaros, that itself might be prohibited. But if you recall, the Kesef Mishnah says, back in Hilchos Avil, at least with regard to Loeg L'Rosh, that it's got to be V'korebo, V'lo Mistaber V'lo Kriya, D'mai Loeg L'Rosh Ika. So the Kesef Mishnah explicitly says that in order to violate the Iser of Loeg L'Rosh, you need to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. It's not enough to bring the Sefer Torah inside. And I assume that the Reish of Halacha Vav here, according to the Kesef Mishnah, is referring not to Loeg L'Rosh, but to the Isur of Kedushas Sefer Torah, therefore he prohibits it even in Beis HaMerchatz or in a Beis HaKisei. Now, when we get to the Sefer, we have a problem. Why? Because the Rambam, according to the Kesef Mishnah, is now expanding this Isur beyond the confines of Kedusha Sefer Torah into the realm of Loeg L'Rosh. And if that be the case, then according to the Kesef Mishnah, Loeg L'Rosh requires Kriya. Oh, says the Kesef Mishnah, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, when he gets to Loeg L'Rosh, V'lo Yikrabo. Beautiful. The Rambam is very meduyah. So now we have three different diyukim and one extra logical reason to assume that the Rambam in Halacha Vav has shifted his theme. He's no longer, as he was in the first half of Halacha Vav, focused on the Isur of violating of Bizayin Kvod, Kedusha Sefer Torah, but now he's interested in Bizayin of the Mess, and that's Loeg L'Rosh. First diyuk is, all of a sudden the Rambam remembers, I have to remind you that we're talking about Kriya. And says the Kesef Mishnah, that means that he's being Mekayim a mitzvah and lo mistaver below Kriya. Number two, the Diyuk of the Rambam, that it's only within a radius of 4 amos min HaKever. It's not the entire area of the Beis HaKvaros. And number three, Omen Ames. All of a sudden the Rambam reminds himself, Omen Ames. And this is a support for the Kesef Mishnah, that the source for this Rambam is the Brisa of Loigla Rosh, and the Rambam would say that you have to read the Brisa very meticulously, and only if he's reading from the Sefer Torah, then and only then does he violate Loigla Rosh. But the Kesef Mishnah is not finished. And he goes on and he says the following. The Afal Gavdit Pashte de Brisa Mashma de Lo Osra Lelech b'beis hakvaros v'sefer Torah bizroo ela b'korebo. It would seem from the Brisa that this entire Iser is only when he reads from the Sefer. And Eino Chinami, the Rambam says v'lo yikra. Right, v'lo yikra. Where's the Rambam? V'lo yikra bo. Nirish Rabbeinu Mefarsh the Tartik Tani Lo Yahalech b'beis hakvaros v'sefer Torah bizroo. And I would interpret the Kesef Mishnah, that's an Iser of violating the Kedusha Sefer Torah, and it should be added and incorporated into Beis HaMerchatz and Beis HaKiseh. And then, oh, Kore meaning B'Toras, the Brisa of Loig L'Rush, which applies Total Amish and Kevin Total Amish and Mes, but requires Kriya. And that's because he has to be Mekayim a mitzvah, and he's being Mecharif and Megadev in front of the mess that I can do a mitzvah, but you can't. Here he says that even in the case of Achiza Sefer Torah, there's Loig L'Rosh. So now we have a problem. If the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchas Avil says it's not mistaber if you violate Lo Yigla Rosh unless he's reading from the Sefer Torah, which means he's being Mekayim the mitzvah. Vus Epes, all of a sudden, you know, and now, in effect, this Kesef Mishnah in the next line really belongs here in Hilchas Avil, because the Rambam in Hilchas Avil omits Korebo. And it would seem that even without, and that's the ratio here in Halach Vav, even without reading from the Sefer Torah, he violates Lo Yigla Rosh. Oh, says the Kesef Mishnah, Chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah. Afal gavdein akoribo mitzvah hi. Ve'ispe mishum loig l'rosh. Interesting. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't give us any footnotes here, but somewhere he found the source for the fact that holding on to a Sefer Torah is a mitzvah. Now, I do know of one situation where holding on to a Sefer Torah is a mitzvah. What's that? A melech. Exactly, for a melech. But I never knew that a hedjot, who's not a melech, would have a mitzvah of holding on to a Sefer Torah.
I thought maybe just the fact that each person is obligated to write their own Sefer Torah, if that was the one that he wrote, he's holding on to it.
Right.
So
maybe.
That one mitzvah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a double mitzvah according to Kesef, which is not just writing a Sefer Torah or owning a Sefer Torah, but also holding the Sefer Torah.
No, he's holding it. That's the one that he wrote.
I'm saying he's holding the one that he wrote.
I don't
but that's part. That's an extension of the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. In other words, not only do you get brownie points for writing a Sefer Torah and owning a Sefer Torah, but carrying that Sefer Torah in your zroah, that Sefer Torah that you mekayim in the mitzvah. And Rabosa, I'm reminded of a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says that on Sukkahs, the Anshei Yerushalayim used to carry their Dalet Minim all over the place the whole day. And they would be Menachem Avelim with the lulav, and then they were Mavakar Chola with the lulav. They kept carrying the lulav around. So it seems like sometimes holding on to a Sefer Torah and holding on to a Cheftz Shal Mitzvah might be a cue. So Bishleim, in the case of Dalad Minim on Sukkot, because the essence of Dalad Minim is Simcha, right? Usmachtim lefnei Hashem al keichem shivas yomim. So you can be Mesameach someone and lighten their burden with the Dalad Minim. The Dalad Minim carry a message of consolation. In the case of a Sefer Torah, what we have is a Shvur, correct? What we find is both in the case of Eliezer and other cases throughout, you'll see it by Yosef and his brothers, we have what's called Nikitas Chefetz, the whole sugya in Masechta Shavuos about Nikitas Chefetz. And I would have thought Nikita's Chayfetz has to do with the relationship between the Shmua and the Sefer Torah, but it might also be reflective of the fact that holding on to a Sefer Torah is itself a kiyum, and now once it's a kiyum, now I can attach a Shmua to that kiyum. But be that as it may, just to summarize, according to Kesef Mishnah, consistently, you are to only violate Loeg LaRush if you are Makayim a mitzvah. I say Sefer Torah even without Kriya, says the Kesef Mishnah, is a mitzvah of carrying a Sefer Torah Bezroa even without Kriya. I would like to put this Rambam on the side and now rewind to the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Mihilchus Tefillin, and here it's actually Hilchas Tefillin. And where was the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillin Perek Dalet Chal Chav Gimel? And there the Rambam says, Lo yahalech adam bebeis hakvaros utfillin berosho vafilu betoch arba amos shel mes o shel kever itzarech lachlotz tefilov ad she yarchik arba amos. And here I have a kasha. There's no doubt in my mind that according to Kesef Mishnah, this Rambam here in Ilchas Tefillin is talking about the Iser of Loeg LaRush. And therefore the Rambam says, Toch Arba Amos Shel Mes O Shel Kever. Like the Seifa in Perek Yud, Halacha Vav, we're talking about the Iser of Loeg LaRush. So my question to you is twofold. Question number one, why does the Rambam feel compelled to repeat himself? He's already established, he's formulated in Ilchos Avel, Perek Yudalid, the Iser of Loeg LaRush with regard to Tfilin Barosho. And question number two, not only does repetition bother me, but why does the Rambam feel compelled to integrate these halachos into Ilchos Tfilin? In fact, if you go back to the context of the Rambam in the previous halachas, he's talking about people who should be very careful about where they take their tefillin and not to go into Beis HaKiseh and not to be Mishamish Mitasa of the tefillin, all sorts of Isurim that reflect on the Kedushas tefillin. So Rabosa, I was thinking the following. That perhaps the Rambam holds that Loeg LaRush and Kedushas Tefillin and Kedushas Sefer Torah are mutually related, are mutually dependent. What do I mean? What do you do with Tefillin Barosho? The Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillin has a whole discussion here about Kedushas Tefillin, Kedusha Gedola, he calls Matcha Tefillin Barosha Shal Adam, Eino Nimshach B'schok, he shouldn't have other machshavos, he shouldn't think B'maharer in Dvar B'telim, V'lo Yifana Libo, Ela L'divrei Emes. He says he should only have a focus on this, and he compares it to the Tzitz, where there's an Iser of Hesech Hadas. So it seemed to me that wearing Tefillin is a machayev in Kedushas Tefillin. Meaning that in addition to all the laws that apply to Shmiras Kedushas Tefillin about where you're not allowed to go and what you're not allowed to do when you're wearing Tefillin, in addition to that, you're not allowed to do something which is antithetical to wearing Tefillin. And that is Loeg LaRush. Meaning the Rambam sees an overlap here between Loeg LaRush and Kedushas Tefillin. And the Rambam is saying that the very fact that he's within Dalet Amos Shel Mes or Shel Kever, and therefore he's being Loeg LaRush, he's misusing his tefillin. You know, as we think that Loeg LaRush begins and ends with the insult to the mess. It's more than that. The Rambam holds that in addition to insulting the mess, you are misusing tefillin. And if you're misusing tefillin, if your kiyum mitzvah tefillin is somehow undermining the kvodo shel mes, then that is a violation of kedushas tefillin. And therefore the Rambam codifies this halacha twice. Once in Hilchas Avel, when he's dealing with pure, you know, what we call loeg LaRush neto and nothing else. And in Hilchas Tefillin, when he's dealing with, in Perek Dalet, kedushas tefillin. And then he repeats himself again in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Perek Yud, because there he's dealing with Kedushas Sefer Torah. And the Rambam wants to tell you that if we were only dealing with Kedusha Sefer Torah alone, then it would only apply, then it would apply even if what? Even if he's not reading from the Sefer Torah. But in the Sefer, the Rambam wants to say that there's a specific Isur of Loig LaRosh, correct? That's the way the Kesef Vishnu interprets it. And that Isur is violated when he reads from the Sefer Torah, or according to the Kesef Mishnah, even when he holds the Sefer Torah, because that too is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. But if he's doing it in a situation in which he violates Loig LaRosh, then that itself is a bittul of Kedusha Sefer Torah. Whenever I'm walking around with a Sefer Torah and there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah involved, if that act of Achiza B'Sefer Torah is Mufka from a Kiyum HaMitzvah, then I'm being Mafkia the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. The Cheftza Shel Kedusha is being violated and desecrated because I'm using it in a way that I'm not allowed to use it. Whether it means Kriya, whether it means Achiza according to the Kesef Mishnah. Again, I would have been happy to say that the Rambam adds this point as an addendum to Loig LaRosh of Kriya, then he's being Mechal the Kedusha Sefer Torah. But that would require me to be a little bit more liberal in the language of the Rambam here in Hilchos Avel, where he doesn't mention Vekarebo. And I would go with the Kesef Mishnah, who says Lo Mestaber below Kriya. Because there is no Kiyum HaMitzvah of Achiza B'Sefer Torah. But be that as may, whether he's reading from the Sefer Torah or not reading from the Sefer Torah, he's violating the Issur Loig LaRosh, and that becomes a misuse and a desecration of undermining the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Oh. But now we get to the Baam Kasha, and that's Hilchos Kriya Shma. Because the Rambam has the Issur of Loig LaRosh in Hilchos Kriya Shma. Where's that Perek Dalid? Who remembers where? Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. Says the Rambam, Ein Korin, Lo Bebeis HaMerchatz, Velo Bebeis HaKisei. Now I thought that the Rambam is clearly talking about violating the Kedusha of Kriya Shema. We have to see exactly what that Kedusha is. But to read the words of Kriya Shema in an improper place, that's a violation. And then the Rambam says, V'lo b'beis hakvaros. It's a makom tuma, and that too is excluded from Kriya Shema. You're violating Kedusha by reciting Kriya Shema in a beis hakvaros. Oh, then the Rambam says, which seems to be Loig LaRosh, V'lo b'tzad ha'mes atzmo. Now he's talking about Loig LaRosh. V'im hirchik arba amos min hakever, o min ha'mes, then he's mutter. So it means that as far as this Isur is concerned, the Rambam holds that the Isur is limited to the close proximity to the mes or to the kever. And that's a pella, because we just finished saying that the Rambam in his opening line seems to assume that anywhere in the Beis HaKvaros it's Asur. And I think the answer is, the Rambam doesn't have Loig LaRosh by Tzitzis, because Tzitzis is a Cheftza de Mitzvah, not a Cheftza de Kedusha. And the Rambam is being Mechadish a Gevaldige Chiddush here, that Kriya Shema itself is a Cheftza of Kedusha, and it cannot be violated. And therefore, if you use Kriya Shema as a means to be Mekayim, to try to be Mekayim the mitzvah, and at the same time be Loeg LaRosh, the Rambam says that that is a Bittul Kedushas Kriyachma. It not only belongs to Hilchas Avel, to Hilchas Loeg LaRosh, but even more than that, there's an additional Avera of Bittul and Hafkas Kedushas Kriyachma. And if that be the case, we understand why the Rambam says V'chol mi shekorei b'makom shein korin bo chozer v'korei. A man read Kriya Shema in the Beis HaKvaros. Zok the Rambam, he's not yotzei his mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Says the Ravid, I don't understand what the man's talking about. Im Omar, if he would have said it in the other cases of Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaKisei Nicha, but al mi shekorei b'tzad ha-mes, because he's reading Kriya Shema next to the mess, Sheyachzor v'yikra is lo amar klum. The Rambam says nothing. But the answer is, Rav Ossai, that the Rambam holds that the kiyum of mitzvahs Kriyat Shema entails a creation of a Chefetz of the Kedusha. The Kriyat Shema itself is a Chefetz of the Kedusha. And therefore the Rambam holds that if you misuse that Chefetz of Kedusha by reading it in front of the mess, which is Cheref Oseu, you're Mecharif the mess, then you're being Mechal the Kedusha's Kriyat Shema. And I think that perhaps that's why the Rambam incorporates this din of Loig LaRosh here in Hilchus Kriyat Shema, the same way that he did it in Tefillin. And he did it in Sefer Torah, he does it in Hilchus Kriyat Shema, to tell you that he isolates three different entities, all of which have a Kedusha, and engender and generate an Iser not to be Machal, that Kedusha. The Rambam holds that Loig LaRosh becomes a conduit through which you are machal the kedusha of that chefta, which is a chefta of tefillin, which is a chefta of sefer Torah, or even a chefta of kriyat shema. And if that be the case, Rav Ossai, then I thought you would ask me this bomb kasha. Maybe you didn't want to ask because you don't want to embarrass me. But the Rama writes in Hilchus Avel, not only are you forbidden from wearing tefillin and from sefer Torah in the close proximity of the kever, the Rambam says, "V'lo yispalil shom." Now, the Rambam doesn't tell you "V'lo yaseh mitzvah shom." The Rambam could have incorporated and included every single mitzvah in the world. Don't do a mitzvah in front of the mess. Instead, the Rambam isolates it to three cases and three cases only. Number one, he's got tefillin. Number two, he's got sefer Torah, and number three, he has tefillah.
In case of tefillah, does he have yichayzer mispalil again?
He doesn't say that because, again, the Rambam now is not, he's not dealing with Hilchus Tefillah. You know, you have a kasha. Should the Rambam have included that in Hilchus Tefillah? That's a good question.
It's not committing Tefillah and Shema. You say Shema is a double Kedusha, but Tefillah maybe isn't.
Well, so I wanted to say just the opposite, that maybe the Rambam holds that Tefillah is more of a Chefetz of the Kedusha than Kriyat Shema. Well, why do I say such a thing? Because we have a halacha of Ein Darav B'Kedusha Pachos Me'asara. And that halacha fundamentally applies exclusively to Tefillah. I mean, there's one halacha in Kriyat Shema that has to be taken under advisement that's called Parson al-Shema. And the Rambam writes saying Parson al-Shema El Bifnei Asar, but that halach I think is also only as an introduction to tefillah, meaning the Rambam requires that we have to join together as a tzibur for a darshim kedusha, and Kriyat Shema could clinch that. When we all read Kriyat Shema together, then we become a tzibur. But be that as it may, the primary mode of darshim kedusha is certainly tefillah. And that's why the Rambam says that you're not allowed to walk Dalet Amos, ain't over Dalet Amos Bifnei Mispalel. Why? Because the mispalel engenders a makom kadosh, a mini, shall we call it, a mini beis hamikdash. The Rambam says that the kavana is that he's omid bifnei hashchina, and that entire area surrounding the mispalel is endowed with kedusha. You're not let it go in there unless you're there for the purpose of tefillah. And not only that, the whole concept of Darash B'Kedusha with regard to Tefillah means that Tefillah is an entity. It's not just a mice of mitzvah like any other mice of mitzvah. I put on tzitzis or I recite brachos and all that. No, Tefillah has a separate status. And therefore, the Rambam holds that to take your makom Tefillah and bring it into a Beis HaKvaros, and therefore insult the dead by davening there, now you have a violation of Loig LaRosh, in which that violation entails a Chil of Kedusha. The Rambam felt that he didn't have to classify Kriyat Shema in this group, because if Tefillah is Asur, then how much more so Kriyat Shema? Because Kriyat Shema also, as we said before, requires a specific makom, because when you're reciting Kriyat Shema, you are creating a makom kadosh, and you can't bring that into a Beis HaMerchatz, or into a Beis HaKiseh, or into a Beis HaKvaros, and that's what the Rambam says about Tefillah here as well. My only kash is the following, that the Kesef Mishnah says, as we saw before, that with regard to Sefer Torah, it makes sense that he's reading from the Sefer Torah. And Tosis goes ahead, again, Mitch, we had two different ways of interpreting the Tosis, but one way of interpreting the Tosis says, Lav Dafka, you don't even need a Sefer Torah, it's just Korei Bal Peh Asa Likros. So I think that perhaps, if we take the Rambam's line of reasoning, maybe Tosis is being Mechadesh, that when a person reads Torah, that also creates a certain Makom Kedusha. For example, the Gemara says, "Al Yahara Her." The Gemara in Shabbos, "Al Yahara Adam v'Divrei Torah Beis Hamerchah to Beis Hakisei." Why? Because V'Haya Machnecha Kadosh, meaning you've established through Hira v'Divrei Torah a Machne Kadosh. You can't take that Machne Kadosh into a Beis Hakisei or a Beis Hamerchah. If that be the case, then in the presence of the dead, you are violating that kedusha of Divrei Torah by misusing Divrei Torah. And why are you misusing Divrei Torah? Because of Lo'ig L'Rosh. And that itself is another form of violating the Kedusha of Divrei Torah. The Rambam, on the other hand, I don't know, it's hard to say. He leaves out the word Vekore. So I'm not sure if the Rambam would say that any reading or thinking of Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz, in a Beis HaKvaros, would be Asur, because the very fact that you're thinking Divrei Torah within Dalat Ama Shel Mes, that itself is a violation of Lo'ig L'Rosh. If he held that way, I think he should have told us that. On the other hand, as we saw before, the Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah mentions the word Korei. So I don't know, maybe the word Korei in the Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah means royally cross bow. Now, it's the very fact that you're holding on to a Sefer Torah, that's a Kiyum HaMitzvah, because it sets up Kriya, it's a Hechsher Mitzvah, and therefore it has somehow the status of a Mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi, so yeah, well, that's for Lo'ig L'Rosh. Now, this entire question about whether the Mesim know what's going on in this world, so if you're interested in that, we'll have to have an Agada to Shiva. But that Agada to continues all the way till Daf Yutes Amid Beis. So the Mishnah tells us, with regard to Kriyat Shema, that there are two Shuros of Menachamim. This is the last line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, there's Omde B'Shura, Hapnimim Pturim V'Chitzonim Chayovim. There are those who are on the inner circle and they see the Avel, and the Avel sees them. They are part of from Kriyat Shema. And then there are those on the outer circle. And the Brisa here on Daf Yutes Amid Beis says, Shura Sharoa Pnima Ptura V'Sheina Roa Pnima Chayeves. And it's interesting, the Tanakama, the Reisha of this Brisa, doesn't make any qualifications here. It seems that anyone who comes and now has the possibility of being Menachem the Mess, it doesn't matter why he came there, you know, there's no separate halacha of Biel Hashem Mitzvah here, he is Potter if he's in the Pnimis. But Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haboy Machmas Ha'avel Pturim. Those who come in order to be Menachem the Avelim, they are pturim from Kriyat Shema, but machmas atzman chayovin. Rashi says machmas atzman velo machmas kavod. They're not there for the kavod ames. They're not there for the kavod of the avelim. Shelo bol and nachem. They're not interested in nichum.
It's right there.
And Rashi says el liro says hamaora. You know that it's like you know that phrase. I don't know if it's all of in all the Anglo-Saxon countries in America. We probably got it from the Brits, called rubbernecking. Do you ever hear that? You know, when there are people who
saw the crowd.
Yeah, they just, you know, it's like in America when they decide to dig the foundations of a building. So all of a sudden traffic stops. You know, everybody, the people are curious. So you see a levaya going on. And Rashi says, Liros is Samora, you know, this is a happening place.
Why is it that somebody's coming, because he knows, he's not a Karov, he knows the Mitzvah, or the
Vasilei? Yeah, I don't know when Rashi says the word Karov, or actually the word Karov, where's the word Karov, I'm sorry.
The Rabbi clearly talking about.
Yeah, right, I just want to see, did Rashi mention the word Karov?
Yeah.
I don't see it in Rashi.
Yeah, but somebody coming for the sake of the Ava, as opposed to
right,
Gemara.
Right. So I would assume, according to Rashi, it doesn't have to be a relative. Anyone who's coming, L'chvodo shel Avelim, is Potter. Now the question here, which I think is the Machlokas, the Ram and the Raiva, we'll have to judge, is Rabbi Yehuda interpreting the Tanakhama and qualifying it, or is Rabbi Yehuda being cholik on the Tanakhama? Tanakhama uses a very ambiguous language, and perhaps Rav Yehuda is coming to spell it out. I don't know. It's hard to say. There's also going to be a gigantic machlokas here about the question of does he have kavana, does he not have kavana. Let's open up the Rambam to, where is it? Perek Yudalid, no, just one second. Perek Dalid Halacha Vav from Kriyat Shema. And let's see what we have over here.
The general rule that says Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, whether he's arguing or not.
So what do we have over here? We have Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It sounds like he's arguing. And that's where the Rambam, I think, learns it. Where's the Rambam again? Perek, Dalet, Alocha, Vav? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. The Rambam says the following. There's a long Rambam here. We don't have to go through the whole Rambam. But the Rambam says, B'nei Adam ha'omdim b'shura pnimim shem roim p'nei ha'velim p'turim b'kriyat shema chitzonim ho'il v'yedom roim es ha'velim chayovim b'kriyat shema b'mkoma. The Rambam seems to copy the Tanakhama verbatim without any qualifications, and the Ravid's not happy about that. Says the Ravid Omer Avram, Dafka ba'osan shetzrichin lios roim p'nei ha'avil. Heim kruim pnimim v'heim mekuravim elav. Again, not krovim, but mekuravim. And if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah, each one in his own style, they basically say that the Ravid understood that Rabbi Yehuda was interpreting the Tanakhama, and according to the Ravid, the Rambam was overstepping his bounds by leaving out the condition and the stipulation that we're talking about the mekuravim. The Rambam seems to assume that's the Pashtus and that's the Tanakam and the Braisa, that anyone who is Roe Pnei Avelim, that means he's involved in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, maybe he hasn't actually done it yet, but he's doing it, and he's anticipating it, he is Potter from Kriyat Shema. Now, what's interesting is that if we assume, in the Rambam's frame of reference, against the Ravid, that the Rambam sees in this Braisa a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, the question is, what are they arguing about? And I sense that the burden of proof here is, in my humble opinion, is on Rabbi Yehuda, or the Ravid Paskening, like Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda is really limiting this. And he's saying, I don't care whether you're Roe Pnei Ha'avil or not Roe Pnei Ha'avil. The critical question is, are you Mekuravim? Are you there for the purpose of Kvod HaMes? Or do you have some ulterior motive? I don't know why that should make a difference unless he's holding Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. I don't know. But I thought that maybe, perhaps, we could get an insight into this whole machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim by opening up one of the strangest Rambams in all the Mishnah Torah. And that's Perek Yudal Mehilchas Avel Halacha Aleph. Really, this is a world-class famous Rambam, in which the Rambam seems to contradict himself from the Reisha to the Sefer. We know that there's a general concept, a general mitzvah called Gmilus Chasod. And within that constellation of Gmilus Chasodim, we have many, many different specific categories. And we have Bikur Cholim, and Nichum Avelim, and Levayas Ha'orchim, etc., etc. And if you'd ask yourself the question, are these mitzvos d'oraisa or mitzvos d'rabbanon? And you look through Shas, what impression do you get? In Shas and Poskim, all over the place. They're all d'rabbanon. And that's the opening line in the Rambam here. But the Rambam wants to be mechadish something. The Rambam says, Mitzvah saseh shel divreim. And he has the whole list. Lovakir cholim, lenachem aveilim, lotzias ames, lahachnas akala, levayas haorchim, lasav b'chol tzorchei kvura, etc., etc. The whole gamut. V'chein l'sameach hachoson v'hakala. That's interesting. You know, some of the poskim say that the mitzvah is only to be sameach to chosom, but the Rambam goes like fuke. And he says the mitzvah is to be sameach to kala as well.
Isn't that a way to mesamech the chasen?
Oh, so that's what most Rishonim say, that we're only going to be mesamech the kala as a means to be mesamech the chasen. But the Rambam, you don't get that impression. He says lesamech hachasen vehakala. It sounds to me that he's talking about to be mesamech the kala. Oh. Yeah, maybe had he written the kala vehachasen.
That's right.
Well, that's what you have. So maybe your text, which again, I didn't check the sheet in the skulls to see if there are any manuscripts that have that text. But your text would indicate, I think, that the mitzvah is directly for the kala. I don't know. Or maybe you could say the other way around, that it's the kala as an introduction to the kala. I don't know. Oh, then the Rambam decides to be machadish a chiddush. Afal pisha called mitzvos elu midivrehem. So the Rambam's not happy with this. He's not comfortable at the fact that we call this a mitzvah midivrei. You know, it sort of puts it on a little bit lower echelon. The Rambam says, "Nein, harein bechlal v'yahavto l'reacha kamocha." Now, what is harein bechlal? Doesn't that indicate that these are mitzvahs that are incorporated in v'yahavto l'reacha kamocha? I mean, the Torah doesn't tell exactly what v'yahavto l'reacha kamocha means. So we meant to, you know, run around the streets and kiss and hug everybody? I mean, what is v'yahavto l'reacha kamocha? And the answer is, according to the Rambam, that v'yahavto l'reacha kamocha incorporates all of the above. And therefore it's very strange that the Rambam opens up this halacha by saying it's a mitzvah say shel divrayim. Like, you know, take a stand on this issue. Is it Midvayim or is it Doraisa? I don't know. And now the Rambam finds, and this is the only place where the Rambam embellishes the mitzvah of Yahavtlerech Kamocha and interprets the pasuk very meticulously, called Advarim, Sha'ata Rotza Shiyasu Osam Lecha Acherim Aseo Tom Le Ata Leachicha B'Torah V'Mitzvahs. Which, by the way, is the opposite of Rashi on Daf Lamed and Shabbos in the famous sugya of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, you know, where the ger comes and he says to Beit Shammai, teach me the Torah when I'm standing on one foot. In that sugya, Rashi says in explaining Hillel that whatever you would find objectionable to do to yourself, you should not do to someone else. You know, the Rambam doesn't have it like the way. The Rambam has it in a very positive way.
That's specifically when you teach a goy, as opposed to a...
Maybe when you teach a guy, you may be in the negative. I don't know. But he wanted to be Mizgayer. So I don't know if... whether Hill was Mizgayer, that itself is an issue. So Rabosa, I'll tell you what I think. I heard something from my Rebbe, but I would like to suggest something a little different. What I would like to suggest is the following. The Maisa Mitzvah is the Rabbanan. But the Mitzvah itself is Doraisa. However, there's a fundamental difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Doraisa. What do I mean? The Torah says, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Where is Ava? In the heart. And that's what you call a kiyum shebalev. For example, the Rambam, there are many indications in the Rambam that when you hear shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, you are being mispalel ta'kodesh baruch. That's the emotional experience of shofar. The blowing of the shofar is the Maisa Mitzvah, and it's meant to trigger off and express the emotions. And although we would probably say that upwards of 90% of the mitzvahs are say that we have in the Torah all Maisa Mitzvah, but maybe 10% or 5% of the mitzvahs have an element of emotion, of a kiyum shebalev. I was listening to one of our kollel members here on Shabbos who said that on Friday night, he said that the reason that chassidus emerged is that there wasn't enough emphasis on the kiyum shebalev, on the emotional element. But be that as it may, the kiyum shebalev in the case of this mitzvah is explicit in the pasuk. It says, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. It's ava. Ava is belief. What did the Rabbanan do? The Rabbanan wanted to take a mitzvah shebalev and give it an objective Maisa Mitzvah. And every one of the mitzvahs, specifically this enumerated list in the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yudalid, that defines the Maisa Mitzvah. And the Rambam is now going to dedicate an entire chapter, strangely, in Hilchos Avil, and that itself requires even why the Rambam decided to choose to classify it here, to define the objective Maisa Mitzvah Midrabbanan. And I would like to suggest the following, that in our sugya, when we're talking about machmas atzman, you know, people who came for ulterior motives, whatever it is, you know, this was the place to be, this was the happening place, you know, maybe they wanted to give a grade to the Rav who was giving a hesped and see if they liked the hesped or not, I don't know. But whatever it is that draw them there, what's lacking is that identification with the Ovel. They didn't come to identify with the suffering of the Ovel. And therefore, what's lacking in their mitzvah is the kiyum of v'ahavta. Because that kiyum of v'ahavta is belief. Nichum Avelim is listed here at the beginning of Perek Yudalid because in addition to the external objectified Maisa mitzvah, which is cut and dry, which is mechanical, which was ordained by the Chachamim, it's a mitzvah divrei sofer, there's also a mitzvah of emotionally identifying with the pain and the anguish of the Avel, and that's when Nichum Avelim takes on an upgraded status of a mitzvah d'oraisa. As long as I'm involved in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim as a mechanical act, you know, there's an Avel, so I come to be Menachemin. Why? Because I'm there. I happen to be there at the right time, the right place, right? So I'm saying the following. If he's coming l'chvod ha-met, that's an emotional element. Correct? But if he's coming, says Rashi, liros es ha-ma'ora. Rashi completely omits k'vod ha-met. That element doesn't emerge in Rashi. Then I think he may indeed fulfill the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Nichum Avelim because he went through the motions, but I think he forfeits the kiyum of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which requires an identification with the mess or with the Avelim, and certainly in the case of Nichum with the Avelim. Oh, so what's the machlokus now between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? And I asked you the question before, Rabbi Yehuda, the burden of proof is on Rabbi Yehuda. Why should it be that someone who came for ulterior motives cannot be potter from Kriyat Shema? What is this, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana? And I think the answer is yes, it is Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, but not the universal classification of Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, but a specific Kavana with regard to Nichum Avelim. And that specific Kavana of identifying, consoling the bereaved, that upgrades this mitzvah to status of a kiyum d'oraisa. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you're lacking, if you're missing, you're deficient in that extra 9 yards, meaning you don't have the identification with the mess. Okay, you did a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but that doesn't give you the status of one of the pnimiyim who's potter from Kriyat Shema. Why should I exempt you from Kriyat Shema just because you're involved in the motions of a kiyum mitzvah?
Couldn't it be connected with Mishum Teirda?
Yeah.
There's the concept of Teirda, and we've seen that passage in Kriyat.
Excellent. So what Daniel is saying, and tell me if this is what you're saying, is that we've pointed out over and over again, both in Rashi and in the Rambam, that Osek B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah requires Tirda. And the question is, what's Tirda in the case of Nichum Avelim? The fact that he stands in front of the Avel, shakes his head, and mumbles a few words? No, that's not Tirda. He can find a way of reciting Kriyat Shema. Rashi, the Rambam adds Bim Koman, you know, find out, you know, wherever you are, you know, you'll say Kriyat Shema. But if you're talking about someone who came in order to identify with the dead, in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha, and he treats this Avel the way which he would want others to treat him, then the Rambam would hold, and that's what I think is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that adds an element of Tirda de Mitzvah. It's Doch Memela. If it comes out like that, the machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is a very fundamental machlokas, and you can interpret it in many different ways. Either they're arguing about whether a mitzvah d'Rabbanan can undermine a mitzvah d'Oraisa. That's an interesting question. So for the sake of Nichum Avelim, which is pure d'Rabbanan in the case of Boyim Liros Samaora, can that therefore exempt it from a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema? Or they're arguing about the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potter in a mitzvah. Is the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potter in a mitzvah conditional upon Tirda, or does it exist independent of Tirda? And if we pasken like the Chachamim, the way we're approaching it, that's the Rambam's psak, then we could derive two major conclusions here, pretty, you know, far-reaching conclusions. Conclusion number one is that a mitzvah d'rabbanan could knock off a mitzvah d'oraisa in terms of osik mitzvah poter mitzvah. And conclusion number two is the chachamim are assuming that even if you're lacking in the element of tirda, and you have just the mechanical kiyum d'rabbanan of the ma'isa nicham avelim, nevertheless, you're still an osik b'mitzvah. And therefore, you're potter in a mitzvah. The third way of explaining this machlokus is to say that the chachamim hold let me start with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no mitzvah d'rabbanan of nicham avelim that is completely devoid of the element of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Meaning, the question is, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Rabbi Yehuda held that we start with Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. The Rabbanan are going to step in and define the Maisa Mitzvah for Yahavta. But the Kiyum has to be Yahavta. There's nothing independent in the action. And therefore, if he's just mumbling these words because he came to for the calf, as the Israelis say, but he doesn't really jump into the consolation of the, then there's no Yahavta Rechemoch. Rabbi Yehuda holds he's not an Osik B'mitzvah at all. The Chachamim wanted to say, switch around the order. Don't start with the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Start with the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon gave us the means to achieve the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. But even if we don't achieve the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, nevertheless, we have an independent mitzvah, the Rabbanon, in the Maisa Mitzvah itself. Now, Rabosai, we begin what is perhaps the most famous sugya in the third parak of Brachos, and that's the sugya that's called Ein Chachma Vein Tvuna Vein Eitzah LeNeged Hashem. And basically the question is, how far do you have to go in order to avoid violating an Avera? And there's going to be a major machlokas here, whether we're talking about an Avera B'Shogeg or an Avera B'Mezid. For example, I see that you're wearing Kelayim. Now, if you're wearing Kelayim B'Mezid, Chas Shalom, right, then I have to rip it off you. Believe it or not, that's what all the Rishonim say. But if, on the other hand, we're talking about a shogeg, you know, he doesn't realize he's wearing Kelayim, then you're allowed to, withhold the information from him, wait till he gets into his house, and then tell him to change. So that's going to be a plukta between the Rambam and the Rosh. But what I want to focus your attention on is, let's say he himself becomes aware of the fact that he's wearing Kelayim. And he's standing in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. Now we have a principle called Kavod HaBrios. You know, to strip publicly is obviously undermining his Kavod HaBrios, his human dignity. And yet, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, another case where the halacha is very harsh. This is not for your NCS wires, right? And it says, yeah, Motzi Kalayim B'Bigdo, post on Afilu B'Shuk. My timer. And the reason is, again, he quotes the Poskim Mishlei, ain't Chachma, ain't Tfunav, ain't Eitzel, and Eged Hashem. We have to see exactly every word in this Pasuk, what it means, and how you darshin it. Kol Makam Sheyesh Chil Hashem, ain't Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. And the Mefarshim want to say that ain't Cholkin Kavod L'Rav applies even to a Rav. That means even if your Rebbe is wearing Kelayim, you have to take him off him. Again, I'm assuming he didn't wear it B'Shogeg. It amazes it. He's wearing it B'Shogeg. But that's called Chil Hashem. And that's an amazing thing. Where's the Chil Hashem here? Does everybody know it's Kelayim? Or is the fact that we have now revealed an Avera, and whenever there's a violation of Avera, that per se is tantamount or qualifies as Chil Hashem? I don't know. It's a lot of questions that we have to ask on this sugya. But the Gemara itself is going to tell us that Kavod HaBrios is so great that it does undermine a los aseh in the Torah. And what's the case? The case is Tumas Kohanim. Right? What's the case of Tumas Kohanim? We have a braisa here of Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik. That's a case of Tumas Kohanim. And then we have a case in which Kovras Ames, Mesve Kovras Ames v'chazu v'lifneim shnei drachim achas tor v'achas tmeya ba b'tahora b'animo b'tahora ba b'tmeya b'animo b'tmeya mishum kvodo. So in order to be machabed the Avel, we're going to enter in to this Makom Tuma, even if you're a Kohen. Right? How do I know that we're talking about a case where we want to be Mechabe, the Kovet HaBriyos is for the Avil? Because Rashi, at the end of Dibur HaMaskil V'Beis HaPras, Rashi says, Liyikare Gabi Avil. Yikare means Kovet, Ligabi the Avil. So since the Avil went down that path, we have to follow suit. And the whole entourage goes there, including the Kohen. Now the question is, what about the Avil himself? So the Meiri writes that the Avil himself is a Kohen. Now wait a minute. It says that there are two drachim, correct? Mm-hmm. So why did the Avil choose to go down the Tmea? Apparently there's more Kovet HaMes in that particular derech. Maybe it's a shorter route, or maybe there are more people there. I don't know exactly why. But if the Meiri is right, the Kohen himself is Kohen. So I don't get it. Bishlema, if you want to say that somehow, the Gemara is going to say we're talking about Tuma Derabbanan, right? That you can violate an Issa Derabbanan for the sake of Kovet HaBriyos, correct? Now we're taking it a step further. We're saying that the Avel is Chayav in Kovet HaMes, and therefore for the sake of Kovet HaMes, even if he himself is a Kohen, he could choose to go down the Tmea. Yeah, and I'm a little... This seems to be after the Kvura. So if it's after the Kvura, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here, according to the Meiri. Again, if the Avil is not a Kohen, okay, for some reason, I don't know why, the Avil chose to go down that road, Derech Tmea. But if we're talking about the Kohen, the Avil himself is a Kohen, so you're gonna, I think you have to assume here that the reason he went to Derech HaTmeo is because of Kovet HaMes. Now, why would Kovet HaMes allow you to violate an Issur Derabbanan? You remember Rabosa when we spoke about Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, and we said that he's potter from all mitzvahs. But what do we point out as far as Averis are concerned? He's chayv. He can't violate Averis just because Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. That we didn't find. So the question I want to ask you is, you know, Bishlema, if the Meso Mutal Lefanav engenders a Kovet HaMes, and therefore he has to be focused on the mess in such a way that excludes him from mitzvahs, okay, he won't fulfill mitzvahs, but to violate Averos? What I'm really asking is, can we draw the conclusion from this sugya that for the sake of Kovet HaMes, if that's what's involved here, you're allowed to violate an Issur Derabbanan? Again, I have to point out here, we're not talking about an Issur Doraisa, because the Gemara says that we're talking about a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras means that it's a Sodesh Nechash Bar Kever, and we can't find any of the remains of the body. So we assume that the Atzomos are all down, all the way deep down. So when he does the Harish on the surface level, he doesn't come in contact with the Atzomos. So the Midaraisa, he's allowed. And according to the Torah law, the Kohen's allowed to go into a Beis HaPras. But Midarabbanan, they made a Gzera, and they prohibited Beis HaPras. So that's a Tuma Derabbanan. But nevertheless, it's also for Kohen to go into a Beis HaPras. That's the bottom line. So what we're saying here is that for the sake of Kovet HaMes, there is a permissibility to violate an Issur Derabbanan. And I think the only way of going here, I mean, again, I'm assuming that we're taking the right steps here, because I'm about to take a precarious step, but I think the only way of going is to say the Kovet HaMes is not just a mitzvah saseh. Because if Kovet HaMes were a mitzvah saseh, I don't think we would allow violating an Isur of Tumas Kohen and even a Derabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah of Kovet HaMes. We don't find such a thing. But perhaps Kovet HaMes is not just a positive mitzvah, but it's also an Isur, it's also an Avera. And that is Bizayon HaMes, meaning if the mess will be unattended and there'll be some sort of Bizayon to the mess, that's an Avera. In which case, we have two Averos pitted one against the other. If he doesn't go down the Derech HaTmeah, then he violates Bizayin Ames, and that's an Avera. If, on the other hand, he decides to go that way and enter into the Makom Tuma, then he violates the Drabanan of a Kohen being Metami in a Beis HaPras. So we have one Drabanan against another Drabanan, and they're both, shall we say, equal. So what tips the scale? The mitzvah saseh of Kovod HaMes, meaning in the case of Tumas Kohen and to go into Beis HaPras is only, it's pure lo saseh. In the case of the positive, we have a positive on both sides. We have a positive only with regard to the Kovod HaMes. So Kovod HaMes has two dimensions to it. It's a mitzvah, and it's also avoiding a bizayin of the mess. It's very similar. If you learn Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam points out that with regard to a Talmud Chacham, we have two mitzvahs. Number one is to be mechaber to Talmud Chacham. Number two is not to be mevaza Talmud Chacham. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, also with regard to Kibud Avayim, seems to have both dimensions. You know, not only do we have to be mechaber at parents, but we're not allowed to be mevaza at parents. And perhaps that's the difference between Kovod and Yira and Mora, you know. But whatever it is, with regard to the mess, we have both dimensions. If we only had the dimension of the positive command of Kibud HaMes, then I would say Mehechetesi that you can violate a law for the sake of Kibud HaMes. But if we can say that Kibud HaMes entails or contains two dimensions, it's not just a positive, but it's also a negative, namely not to be mevaza the mess, then perhaps we would allow violating an Issa Drabanan in order to avoid being mevaza the mess. So Bosai, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, Bli Neder on Yom Revi'i, we want to start the sugya of Midalgin Hayinu Al Gabi Arodos Shel Mesim. The question here, Bosai, I'm going to have to make this decision my own. Because I'll tell you why. Because I'm not sure if we really can do justice to the sugya. There are basically three shittas in Rishonim here, and it has to do with Tumas Mes, and there are Rambams all over the place. So I don't know when the last time you learned Olos was. I once learned it for someone's yartzai, no, for the Shloshim actually, and I Pasha didn't know what I was learning about. 40% of Reb Chaim's Chidushim and the Rambam are in Olos, and the Radzina wrote an entire sefer on Tumas Mes. So I definitely feel that Tumas Mes is a very important topic, and I think with all that's going on in our situation, the only way we can get some simcha is if we learn Tumas Mes. Sure. No, I mean it honestly. It's a strange kind of psychology, but so we'll see. So I'll let you know if we're going to go through this sugya. I may just, you know, do the sugya as we say birifruf, you know, milamala, you know, from on top. And but there are many other dimensions to this daf that are very, very exciting about Kovod HaBrios, about we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, we're talking about the mitzvah of Kelayim, we could talk about someone who's on his way to bury the dead, and it'll undermine the mitzvah of Shritas HaPesach or Milas Bno, I mean the Mes Mitzvah. All this is here in the coming attractions on Daf Yud Tes on the base. Okay, then?
Learning very intently then.
Right.
So this Avil coming back from the Levaya is another aura around.
And maybe that itself is enough to violate the Issur Tumas Kohen? The only problem is, I mean, you may be right, but the Rambam sheet is that Avil Yom Rishon Dorais is only on the day that he died. It's not just the day of his burial.
It's on Aninus.
So I'm just wondering if our sugya is limited to the case where the Yom HaKfur is also the Yom HaMisa, because the Rambam holds in order to generate the Doraisa, you need both Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKfur. Now in America today, not so much in Israel, but it's very common that they separate, you know, that the dead is not buried until the next day. Sometimes they'll do it for the benefit of the Avelim, let's say, for example, who are on the way, you know.
That's right.
They're coming from a distance. But that itself is a big shiloh, whether you should delay burial for the sake of those who are coming.
We talked about that Lima Torah turns the place into a Makom
Kadosh, Machnecha Kadosh.
Chazon-ish, and this is in many Sfarim. Was leaving me, coming out of Meir with his Talmidim one day, and he stops in a street corner and he stands there for 25 minutes. Then he goes on his way. Eventually they asked him, why are we stopping here? He says, I felt a a makom kedusha there. I don't know why. And he stopped there. They said, well, last night there was a hafsakat chashmal in the basement, and the boys took their shtenders out on the street and they learned in this spot. So 24 hours later, the Chazon Ish still felt...
Who was a makom kedusha?
In his kedusha level, obviously.
Right.
He was able to feel something, it was kedusha, right. But he didn't know there was a hafsakat chashmal, right. The boys learned in the street.
It's like the Arizal, they say, was able to identify Kiris Tzaddikim. See, he just intuitively sensed where they were buried. You know? And there are also stories about, you know that famous story, I'm trying to remember the details of the story. One of the Chassidish Rebbes said that like he smells an esrog that smells like an Eden or something like that, and then he traced it. You remember the story? No?
Oh. That one doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I think it's a tzanza. It's a famous maaser with the tzanza rug.
Sounds like Big Day
Yaakov. Big Day Esau, yeah. That, the reach of Gan Eden. You're right, the Begodim Chamudos.
Right, the Begodim
Chamudos. Yeah, they say that those Begodim Chamudos were the ones that were worn by Nimrod. According to some, and Esav stole it from him.
It's still hard to say Kavod HaMes after he's buried.
No, I think Kavod HaMes after he's buried means that there's an entourage of people there, and that's Kavod HaMes. In other words, when people get together, this we had a long discussion, I don't know if you were there, Mitch, that Nicham Avelim is not just Kavod HaChayim, but it's also Kavod HaMes. That's why the Rambam says if a person dies without any relatives, we still have Nicham Avelim. We set up a, like, kind of speak a base of a malachuti, if you call it, just a mechanical base of it, and we come by to be Menachem. And you know, in the more esoteric svarim, they say that the nefesh of the mess hovers over the base ovel, whether it's for 3 days or for 7 days, so that the nichum is also a kavod ames. All right.